Many secrets, many secrets. Sometimes you have a friend that you can tell secrets to, don't you? That you would say to no one else. You would just put your heart out there with them. We have best friends. We have sometimes best friends are of the opposite sex and sometimes of the same sex. Sometimes they're your buddies or sometimes they're your friends. Sometimes you can talk to your mother and talk to your father and let them just make everything clear to them in your life, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have friends you can be friends with like that, and some you can't. We talked about how God replaces children. When your children reject you, God replaces them with 50 children sometimes, or many. Mothers the same way. If you did not have a mother, did not have a father, somebody will be your mother or your father. I've had many people in life tell me that I'm their father, their father figure. And I had people in my life that have been my father figures also, and my brother figures and my sister figures, my aunts and my uncles. The people that meant the most to me in my life seemed like didn't live very long. My favorite uncle, Jay, Arthur Jay, he was good to me. He took me hunting. He watched after me, gave me a job, taught me a lot of things. And I really appreciate him, but he died when I was very young. He died when I was 18 years old. I had no uncle after that. I had another uncle, Blackie, but we did a few things together. He helped me. I worked for him, and he taught me things. He always wanted me to join a secret society, the Masonic Lodge. The Masonic Lodge, the secrets of the Masonic Lodge, are secrets to the uninitiated. There are many, many different kind of secret lodges and things, the Ku Klux Klan, whatever. They're secret societies. I don't know how old I was, maybe 14 or 15 years old. I was working at a gas station, a Hancock gas station, and Marilyn's father used to come in and get gasoline there. And he'd always pull in there and say, fill it up, top it off, and check everything. Because he was going to Las Vegas, take his wife to gamble. And Marilyn would be sitting in the back seat, and her sister would be there. And I would check all the tires, and I would wash the windows and all of this stuff. And washing the windows, and I went up there one time. He walked up there to pay for his gasoline. And he shook my hand, and I shook his hand, and then I gave him the change back, and then he said, he gave me like a $5 or $20 tip. I can't remember what it was. It's been so long ago, but it was a big tip. It was more than the price of the gasoline. And I said, thank you. I said, why did you do that? He said, because you're one of the brothers. I said, what do you mean one of the brothers? You're one of the brotherhood. He said, well, you're a Mason, aren't you? And I said, no. He said, you gave me the Mason handshake. And I didn't know what the Mason handshake was, but evidently I unintentionally did that, and I got me a tip because I was the uninitiated. I didn't know what he was talking about. You see things like that in life. Sometimes that people keep secrets, you know. I'm going to tell you a secret. Sometimes when you tell somebody a secret, you're putting it out on the worldwide news. Because they're not going to keep a secret. They're going to tell everybody else. Tell someone, he'll tell so-and-so, and they'll tell everybody else. Secrets are a mystery to the uninitiated. They're a mystery to the uninitiated. That handshake was a mystery to me. My uncle Blackie never did that with me. He never showed me what the handshake was. Marilyn's dad didn't show me what the handshake was, even though evidently I must have imitated in some way. That was a secret. A secret. There's also a secret when alarm. One time, Frederick Tecumseh Waite, my cousin, he was the one that was in the Lincoln County War. And he went out from Paul's Valley to represent the Paul McClure's and Waite families, and they were going to take cattle, and they were going to go on business with John Chisholm, or John, I can't think of his name now. Anyway, with Billy the Kid and all of that. And they, about the time he got there, they killed John, his partner. Fred organized the Regulators, and they cleaned house. But on his way there, something happened to Fred. They took him out, and they had caught him out there in Texas, and they put a rope around his neck and threw it over this tree limb. I'm going to hang him. And he gave this alarm, this Masonic Lodge alarm, and one of those was a Masonic member, and he got out of that alive. The distress signal that he gave to him, whatever it was. I don't know what that is either. But he came over there and he was glad to get out of Texas. He rode that horse in the ground until he got out of Texas. He didn't want any more of that. These are secrets to the uninitiated. Nobody else in that group knew who he was or what was going on, but Fred and that guy knew the secret. I have my great-great-grandfather Sam Paul's letter to the Masonic Lodge asking for entrance, and Fred Waite signed as his, what we might sponsor. I have that. And this is a secret society. We have these secret societies, and the secret society is in the Ku Klux Klan. After the Civil War, that started initially to protect them against the carpetbaggers, and then it became not so good. Many Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, for 100 years had a Ku Klux Klan and a Masonic Lodge in the church. Simple as that. And they were both secret societies. They kind of went hand in hand for a while. Now, Jesus is going to start telling secrets. Telling secrets. Mysteries. Now, the word is parable there. In the Old Testament, in the the types in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was a type of this and a type of that. And the term used in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, is parables. Parables. Spoken parables. The parables are types. The parables are secrets to the uninitiated. Matthew 13 and verse 1. On that day Jesus went out of the house and he was sitting by the sea. He's talking about the sea what? The Mediterranean Sea? What sea is he talking about here? He's talking about the Sea of Galilee. And great multitudes gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. Now, when you get out in the water, Marilyn, when we were out in the water in our boats, you know, we went out in the lakes, we went out in the ocean and everything else, you could hear sound for a long ways, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could hear, you could get 100 yards from the shore, and you could sit up there in your car and listen, and you could hear their voices out there talking in boats on the water. That's a natural phenomena because the water, your voice bounces off the water and it carries it. And one other thing is that also underwater, sound travels faster underwater and further than it does above water. I was out there in the ocean one time, and several times, a lot of times, been out in the ocean, being a captain of little boats and larger boats, and all boats, not ships. I was out there a long ago, 50 years ago at least, if not more. I was out in a little 14-foot boat, and I was 25, 26 miles out in the ocean. I followed the buoys out there where the tanker ships would come in into the harbor. And I would go out there and I'd follow those buoys out, and it would mark 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to 25, and I was between 25 and 26 miles out in the ocean. And we were catching fish. Boy, I mean, the fish were coming in right and left, and all of a sudden, I started hearing these sounds. And whales came up all around my boat. And I told the kids, I said, get those lines in. And I started that engine. I took off out of there. And that was like 50-something years ago. Well, probably 15 years ago now, Marilyn and I were out in water. And I had shut the engine off. And we were out there and we were catching fish, weren't we? And I kept hearing the sound. And I went down in the cabin. Dakota was asleep down there, just sleeping away. She'd love to go out there and rock her sleep out there in the ocean. I heard this noise. I thought it was music. And it was the sound of the whales singing. The whales were singing, and I started that engine up, and I got out of there. I don't know where they were, but if I could hear them, they were too close to me. Then the next day or so, the whales started jumping out of the water, and one of them jumped upon this boat that a guy called Mr. Tibbs was riding. He had Mr. Tibbs ribs in Bakersfield, and it crushed the boat, but it didn't sink, but it killed Mr. Tibbs. And I didn't want that to happen to me or to my family. I got out of the way. Those sounds were secrets of some place, but I knew what they sounded like, and I knew what it was. Now, Jesus is going to begin to tell secrets. He's going to tell secrets to His church. His church was following Him. This church, Ecclesia, once called out, and the ones called out were the ones He specifically... We had the apostles, which are also called disciples, but there are many disciples that are following Jesus. Many disciples are following Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to them in secrets. He's speaking to them in secrets. He's telling them a secret code now. And great multitudes gathered about Him so that He got in the boat and He sat down, and a whole multitude was standing on the beach. He's using a natural phenomena so they can hear Him speak. One thing about it, if you're going to listen to somebody, you've got to keep your mouth shut. And they had to be quiet so they could hear His words. I can just imagine back there all the little children out there and the mothers and papas saying, quiet, He's speaking, He's talking. And He spoke many things to them in secrets, parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. We're going to talk about the sower now, the secret of the sower. And a long time ago, now they have planters that you go through the fields and plant. And still in parts of the world, they have people that go out and sow, and they broadcast the seed. They go out of a sack and they'll throw it. They'll have the ground all plowed up, they'll throw all this seed out there. All over, and then the seed will come up. Now they have planters, but now we got a sower. And this sower here is Jesus. He's talking about sowing seed, and the seed is the Word of God. And these are plain to Him. And He will explain this personally to His disciples. But they are secrets to the uninitiated, which were the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests and the Levites and all of these people that were following Him that were not believers. To understand, you had to be a believer. This whole book here is written to believers, basically. If you're not a believer, then it's not your mail. You don't have mail. It's not yours. And He said, He spoke many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And so He sowed, and some seeds fell by the road, beside the road. And the birds came and devoured them. by the road. The road is hard. The road is hard-packed ground. You don't sow the seed on hard-packed ground because it'll just stay on top of the ground. Otherwise, it'll, when the wind blows or something, it'll cover some of it up and the seed will come up when there's enough moisture. And a lot of times they planted this right when it was the right time. Remember, many years ago, Marilyn's dad went back into the 1800s, you know, his life did. And he worked for, I think it was B.F. Goodrich, driving a truck because he knew how to drive a truck. And truck drivers were hard to come by because nobody, they rode horses back then, okay? And this was early, in the early 1900s. He worked for them and drove the trucks and delivered the tires, etc. And driving was a secret to many people. But he drove. He drove up in that area. And he said that he went down Highway 138, which probably was just a dirt road at one time, just a gravel road down through. It went from Lebec and Tahone up there all the way down to Lancaster. And that land in between there was really hard. The farmers up there just like to starve to death. They depended on, they didn't have any water. They depended on rain. And a storm was coming. And he told Marilyn about an old man that went out there. They got all the horses they could gather up together, and they went out there and they started sowing, plowing the ground up, putting harrows out there and throwing seed out. Because here's going to come a storm, and they wanted to get that seed in the ground before the storm. And they had a crop that year. Most years they like to starve to death. But they had a crop that year because they knew when to sow. Now Jesus is sowing. And some of these people don't want to receive the seed, and some of them do. And Jesus is going to tell us all about the different kinds of soils. Well, the sower went out sowing. Some of the seed fell by the road, and the birds came and devoured them. And the birds here are evil people. They're devils. The birds, the dirty birds that ate up the seed, these are devils. This is the devil taking the Word of God out of people's heart. Many people read the Bible, but many people have gone out, like Joseph Smith and all the popes from here to there, Charles Russell, people that twisted the Word of God. They had stolen the Word of God out and used it and imitated it and sowed tares. Tares are false wheat now. So it said, the birds came and devoured the seed. And then others fell upon rocky places where they did not have much mold, and immediately sprang up because they have no depth of soil. And the thing about that is when you, on rocky ground, if you go down the road out in the middle of the desert, around rocks, these plants will come up because the rocks gather the moisture and they get real hot and they germinate real fast and they come up and then they die. Rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they didn't have no depth. And when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. They didn't have any place to go down. It was all rocks. So the roots were very shallow and subject to heat, and they died. People hear the Word of God, and either it is manipulated and changed by Satan, or it is taken out of their hearts altogether. Verse number 7. And others fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. Thorns. Thorns take a lot of water. They take all the water. I worked with a little church down in Valley Acres one time. And they came out in the country there, and they came from the city where there's nothing but concrete and sidewalks. And the guy's wife was really nice. She was a kind of an innocent little old thing. And she was having kids right and left, and And anyway, out in the yard came up these little beautiful vines. And she was going out there and caring and watering these vines. They had little yellow flowers on them. Those little vines with the yellow flowers on them would have grown no matter what. They're called goat heads and puncture vines. I may have one in my foot that I have to go to the doctor tomorrow, maybe have it taken out. Got punctured when somebody walked. Those puncture vines are all over the farm down there. Goat heads. They look like little goat heads or devils. And boy, did they sting when they get in there, and they break off and they're like barbed hooks. And they burn like fire when you step on them. Well, she figured out what they were when the kids started stepping on them and getting stickers in her feet. Thorns. I remember one time when I was a little bit boy, probably between a year and 2 years old. I know my sister hadn't been born yet, so it had to be between a year and 2 years old, because she was born when I was just before I was two. And I was out on a tricycle that one of my mother's boyfriends had got for me. And I was riding out in the yard, and I rode out, and there was a sticker patch out there, a great big sticker patch. And I was riding out there, and there was a gopher hole, and my front wheel went in the gopher hole, and I fell over into the sticker patch, and they were very, very ripe for pain. That's all I can say. I had stickers all over me. I was crying, and my grandmother came out there, my great-grandmother, and picked me up and took me out of there and took all the stickers out of me. I had a lot of stickers in there. They'll grow. They take all the water of everything. They will sock up every bit of moisture all around. Anything else there is going to die. Now up here in Fish Lake Valley, we have natural sagebrush and things. And if you leave that sagebrush alone and everything else, the tumbleweeds that came here in 1880 now, the sagebrush and different kind of plants, whether it's button sage or white sage or whatever, and the purple sage and all, if you leave that alone, the tumbleweeds cannot grow. Because they will poison the ground, they'll suck up all the moisture. But where you have ground that's been cleared, then the tumbleweeds will take over and nothing else can live. As simple as that. And tumbleweeds are a real problem. They're also a type of thorn. Some fell among the thorns and came up and choked them out. And later on he's going to tell that the thorns are the cares of the world. The things we want to do in the world. We don't want to think about God's. We don't want to think about spiritual things. We've got too many things in the world to think about. Another fell among good soil and yielded a crop. Now here we have the good soil. And the good soil is people's hearts. A good soil. Soil that these are good people. These are people that want to hear. That ears to, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse number 9, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. And who has ears? Those whose hearts are pliable. Do you have ears? Are you working with or against God today? Do you have ears? Have you given your heart to the Lord and asked Him into your heart and then listen to His voice? He that had ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. Our Father, we send this message out. I pray that it feeds your children, that it touch their lives with your Spirit, and guide them, that they listen and that they follow. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.